Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the sanctuary. It's great to have you with us, as always. Now, something that we talk about a lot in church, of course, is forgiveness. It doesn't matter where you've been, when you've been. At some point, you've heard us talk about forgiveness. You've heard it defined. You've heard about biblical perspective, all that kind of stuff. Well, guess what? We're going to expand on it a bit this week. So, I'd like to start off by painting some pictures for you to reflect on, okay? Things that we've all heard of, you know, or have experienced at one point or another. So first, I'd like for you to think about a church that you've been to at some point in your life. It could even be ours. In fact, it doesn't really matter. It could even be work or school or any number of places with people. There's the key. All right. So whatever this place is, start putting it in your head. And now suppose that somebody in this place has said something about you that just plain isn't true. Not that they were intending to do anything malicious or even hurtful, nothing like that. Just plain gossip. Now, the person really didn't know what they were talking about. They were just talking for talking's sake. All right, we're starting to get the picture now. And it's basically, you know, it kind of goes like this. It goes like that experiment where a person whispers something to someone, and then that person tells the next, and then that person tells the next person, and so on and so on and so on, until by the time it gets to the end of the chain, it's morphed into something totally and completely different. Well, in this case, it's worse. It's worse than what they originally said. So hold on to that thought. All right. So that's picture number one. And really, a lot of us can picture that one pretty easy from work or school or something like that. You know, unfortunately, you know, I say church because sometimes things happen in churches as well, right? We hate for it to happen, but it does happen. Now, next, hold on to that picture, stick it to the side of your mind, and I want you to now think about a child in your life. Your child. Or maybe you don't have one, so maybe a niece or a nephew. You know, or a siblings. So are those of you out there that have siblings that are significantly younger? You know, it happens, you know, or any other relative for that matter. Now, imagine them coming home in tears because of a rumor. So you start asking questions, you know, like, what's this rumor? What did they say? When did it start? Who started it? You know, who's involved? All that kind of stuff, right? Now, in either of these scenarios, or anything even remotely like them, you'd be getting pretty angry at this point, right? I know you would, because I would. All of us do. That's just how it happens. You know, and it's bad enough when somebody hurts you or attacks your character. It's something else when it's someone you care about deeply. Now, I've said a few months back, you know, these are all things. Or I'm sorry, I should say a few moments ago, you know, I've said this about forgiveness months back. I've talked about it even recently. You know, the way we react is the way we react. It's part of being human. You know, these are all things that are hard to deal with. You know, and maybe someone out there is dealing with this sort of thing right now. It happens, right? It happens all the time. You know, I spent a long, long time working in healthcare, and I could tell you in hospitals, there's a lot of gossip. So what do? You know, well, we look to Jesus because Jesus told us what we should do. And if we open our Bibles to Matthew 18, we're going to start seeing what the word says. All right. So Matthew 18, specifically verses 21 through 22. So if you're following along in your Bible, Matthew 18, 21 through 22. If you're taking notes again, Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22. And the word says, then Peter came up to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, at this point, we have a choice to make, don't we? And that choice is whether we're going to forgive or not. Remember the old saying, what would Jesus do? Well, it applies here. We should ask ourselves how we can be like Jesus here, because the answers are very clear. Number one, we can choose to follow Christ and forgive the offender. Or two, we can choose to be worldly and go against what Jesus has told us and be unforgiving. Those are really the only two options on the table. There's nothing that truly falls in the middle. It's one or the other. So let's take a deeper look at this, all right? In fact, let's take a look as to why Peter asked Jesus this question in the first place. Let's just go back a few verses. We're going to just stay in Matthew 18, and we're going to look at verses 15 through 20. All right, and in verses 15 through 20, Jesus says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained a brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to even hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if the two of you agree on earth concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." All right, so now we're digging, right? We're digging in. We're getting in the meat and potatoes. We're starting to see the real context of the question and the answer, right? And I'd like to pause here for just a moment, because there's something here I want to point out. And I'm telling you, this is going to blow your mind if you've never seen it before. Let's take a look at verse 20. Which specifically says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them." This verse is taken out of context way too often, because it's taken and tried to be used by itself to mean something else, that something other than what it does. But notice what we're talking about. We're talking about dealing with trespasses and forgiveness, not praying. All right, it's not where two or more are gathered in my name and pray, whatever. It's not what it's talking about. When we take it out of context and we use it like it often is, it's like saying God isn't with us when we pray on our own or at any other time, which is absolutely ridiculous. It is completely silly, you know, it stupefies me sometimes, because, you know, to think that God's only with us, if there's only a couple, you know, if we have a couple of us together or more in order to pray, that like he's not with us at any other time. No. What he's actually telling us is that as believers filled with the Holy Spirit, that when we come together and we pray and it's in God's will, that his will be done, not our demands, right? It's God, saying that God is with us as we pray for guidance and then move forward in his will, that he's with us and will uphold the decisions that are being made. That's the key right there. Because if you look at this whole thing, it is a legal concept, because it's basically saying, hey, if somebody offends you, go and talk to them. If they're not going to listen to you, go and grab a couple of witnesses who are there and go and try to confront them again. And if you still won't listen, bring them before the church. And this is all things that are happening essentially within the church, not outside. Okay. But I digress. Let's get back to our subject matter here. All right. So again, Peter was asking, how far does someone need to go to forgive another? Basically, where's the line drawn? And, you know, at what point do they not have to worry about it anymore? And, you know, in seven, it seems like a pretty good number, doesn't it? You know, I mean, seven's already, you know, if somebody forgives someone seven times, you know, you can definitely say they're already going way above and way beyond what even rabbis are taught, because they're taught that, you know, you should only have to do something three times, basically three strikes and you're out. One, two, three, get out of here, right? However, what Jesus is saying is that neither of those numbers are good enough. We need to take a look at that seven and then go even further, about 70 times further. Think of it this way. Someone gives you something to take care of. It's not a matter of just having whatever it is, but leaving it in better condition than how you received it. And our forgiveness needs to be the same. You know, it's something we can't keep count of, nor should we even try. You know, it should be limitless, which is the point here. Because, you know, how many times are you going to do something and remember, oh yeah, on this date, I did it this many times at this time. Oh, and then there's this many times here. No, that's the whole point. You know, just as Christ forgave each of us, and his forgiveness for each of us is limitless, no matter how many times we fail, no matter how many times we fall down or let him down or sin against him, you know, just as unlimited, you know, as the forgiveness is in the nature of Christ, it should be in all of us as, you know, as his followers. Why? Because he lives in us. In fact, it's so important that if we move back ahead to Jesus' response to Peter's question in Matthew 18, verses 21 through 35, we find that Jesus tells the parable of the unforgiving debtor, all right? If, you know, for time's sake, and if you're not familiar, I'm just going to summarize the story. And you can read it in its entirety at any point whenever you have time. Please do, I recommend it. Basically, you know, the way it goes is there's a servant whose debt is pretty steep, you know, and he's in debt to the king. And he goes before the king because his debt marker is being called, basically, and he begs for mercy. And the king hears him and takes pity on him and forgives the debt like it never happened. And the servant is released. However, the servant then begins calling on debts owed to him, right? He's calling those markers in. And instead of being loving and forgiving just as he was forgiven, he's the opposite. He's harsh and he's unmerciful. Sounds like a lot of us, doesn't it? We want to be forgiven, but then we turn around and we're jerks to other people. And in the end, what he was doing was reported back to the king, who decided to rescind that forgiveness and had him jailed and punished for his transgressions. And that's exactly what God will do if we don't forgive people the same as he's forgiven us. It does not matter what they did. We cannot hold those grudges. We shouldn't use these shortcomings as ammo against people. And man, do we love to do that. You know, instead, we need to forgive, and we need to forgive in full, just like we've been forgiven. And we should be doing it whether or not the other person's repentant, apologizing, or anything or not. Because it's not about them. It's about God. And it's about how we respond that reflects our relationship with God. Your response, whether or not you forgive somebody, is a reflection directly of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's important that we forgive. It's not easy, but it's important. You know, and that's aside from the obvious that I've already stated. You know, let's take a look at it. Let's look at that unforgiveness, that grudge and anger we hold on to as though we're entitled to it. You know, we're entitled to want what we want. You know, let's look at what it gives us. And as we do so, let's read Matthew 18:31. So Matthew 18, verse 31, Jesus tells us, "So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master what had been done." Again, what does unforgiveness get us? Well, let's start with our families. When we're angry and we're bitter, it affects them. They see it in us. And whether we realize it or not, we're victimizing them. We're victimizing the people we love with our own hate and discontent. It impacts our relationships. We start putting people at a distance, or even, you know, it can even cost us relationships. And how we react, you know, our actions influences them. Think about it. If a loved one is hurt or angry, we usually are too, because we don't want to see our loved one hurt. So we go on the defense and we want to help them, you know, to get the justice they perceive that they're entitled to, or that we perceive they're entitled to. Even though we don't know all the facts, we only know what's been brought home versus the full picture of what's transpired and what's going on the other person's end. You know, all too often people come home and, oh, I'm the victim. And it turns out, no, they weren't the victim at all. You know, so our sins of unforgiveness become our family's sin as well. You know, all those that hate, discontent, parents, you pass that on to your kids. You pass it on to your nephews and nieces. You know, we pass those things on to people who look up to us. How about our friends? They're very similar to our families. When we're upset, they're upset. Much like our families, they have our backs. They're essentially our expanded family, right? And if we're vengeful, they are too. What's worse is if we're upset with a friend and we refuse to forgive them, we very well may end up losing that friend. Now, I know I've mentioned this a few times over the years, but, you know, I was a bit of a brat growing up. I got into a lot of fights. I did a lot of stupid things that I shouldn't have. You know, and I know what you're thinking. What? A Marine who likes to fight? No, say it's not so. Surely you jest. I don't jest, and don't call me Shirley. But, you know, I had one fight in particular that came about because of a friend. My friend had taken offense with another person over a girl, of all things. Yes, I was in school. Now, my friend was not a fighter in the slightest, not even a little bit. So I stepped up and I made it my fight. I got angry. I was saying things I shouldn't have. I was doing things I shouldn't have. You know, I was interjecting myself when I shouldn't have, but I did. And we get out there, you know, we both show up and, you know, it's the old school. We have rings and stuff on because we're prepared just in case. It's like, really? No. So we're taking them both, you know, both of us are taking it off. We're going bare knuckle the whole time. It's go time. We're cocky. We're arrogant. I'm more so. I'd been in fights. I knew I could take a hit. So I let this guy get in a couple of shots. Well, that day I found the bigger and better fighter, the bigger dog in the yard, was right in front of me. Because I'll tell you what, when those first few hits came in, they left me in a daze. Not so much that they hurt, they didn't hurt. They just landed so right that I was seeing white. And nothing was working right afterwards. My feet were wrong. You know, I was trying to return punches. They weren't going right. I mean, everything was wrong. I was rocked. I was feeling pretty silly at that point, you know, not even embarrassed because things that weren't even registered yet. You know, I got a bloody nose. My ears are ringing. The bell was wrong. The fight was done, you know, and it earned me a concussion, and which evolved into post-concussion syndrome that lasted several months afterwards, you know, because I put myself into something petty that I shouldn't have, you know. You know, and that feeling afterwards, you know, like I let down my friends who were there, you know, and gave other people I didn't know something to laugh about. These thoughts start seeping in. You know, here I am, and I'm walking down the road with a bloody nose and black eye. So a little bit of humiliation starts to set in. Definitely humbled. You know, my friend's sin became my sin. And we all do it at some point. Maybe not to that extreme, but we all fall into that trap. Remember those scenarios that we started with today, right? I painted a couple pictures. Unforgiveness can rip apart churches as well. Just like it could rip apart friendships, it could rip apart families. There are pastors and congregations under them who are unforgiving, unloving, and unchristlike because of their own anger and resentment, their own issues that have gone unresolved. And they let them seep in. These are some of the ugliest scars that have impacted the church today. Because not only do they need to be recognized, but they need to admit to them and bring these issues before Christ in order to heal. The problem is pride gets in the way. So the church is hurt inside and out. And when and where there is unforgiveness in his church, in the people who should know better and do better, who set the example as his ambassadors, we don't need to bash the church at that point, do we? We don't need others to bash the church. Because the damage is already done. We've already hurt his name and his reputation ourselves. The devil doesn't have to do anything but sit back, pop some popcorn, and enjoy the show, because we do it in our own arrogance and our own pride. We hurt the Father. The enemy doesn't even have to at that point, because we make that choice. Let's look down a little further in Matthew 18, verses 32 through 34. Jesus says, "Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him." Oh, our hate and discontent, our refusal to forgive goes against God. And that sin makes him angry. Like any parent who warns their child, don't do it. Do not do it, or else there will be consequences. But we do it anyways. And then we get upset and we freak out when our parents would spank us and ground us and take things away. You know, our employers get upset or our friends get upset. You know, we end up getting punished or written up or suspended or all this other stuff, and goes on and on, etc., etc. And our own anger, we forget all the things God has done for us. The price that was paid in blood so that we could be forgiven. The mercy and the grace poured out on us, even though we continue to sin again and again and again. We forget. We forget all about the forgiveness and love given to us. Instead of paying it forward and sharing it with others, we hoard it for ourselves and refuse to share it with others. You know, like children who get upset because someone won't share their toys, but then refuse to share ours when they do. You know, we're like Smeagol. Oh, my precious, right? With his little ring. Our sin doesn't just impact us. It always impacts others. And the consequences of it aren't just ours to bear, but are theirs as well when they take it on as well. Our sin divides his people. It divides God's people. It hurts his church, his bride. It tarnishes the name of Christ. You know, we like to say things like, oh, you were hurt by the church? Well, that was people, not God. But let me ask you this. How is a non-believer or someone new just coming in the door supposed to believe this when they themselves were looking to know God but turned away by the sin of those claiming to be Christians? Those who are supposed to represent him and teach others. The children act up, the father gets angry, and a price is paid for it. Remember when you were a kid? Right? You messed up. You got the belt, maybe a wooden spoon, the old chancla, right? Go get your Twitch. Make it a good one. Part of part of that price is the personal pain we see in verse 34. We're tormented by unforgiveness. Some suffer throughout their entire lives because they won't forgive. They refuse. It eats away at them. It hardens them. And in some cases, just mention a name and you can see that anger start to well up. You want an example? Let's use a president's name. See how people react. Reagan, Clinton, Bush, Obama, Trump. You don't have to look back far, and you see people melt down from the opposite side of their political leanings. That's a lot to have to carry, and we're not supposed to. That's a weight we weren't even meant to pick up. So you have to forgive. Well, Pastor, how do we do that? Well, to start, Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, tell us. Tell the offending party that they've hurt you. We all need to tell those people who hurt us, that they've hurt us. And if they won't listen, and there are witnesses, we should go grab a couple of them to back us up in explaining how that person has committed an offense. No, you don't have to take a lynch mob. Just a couple people will do. And if things still aren't moving forward, and everybody's a part of the church, well, then you and your supporting Christians need to take that issue before the church, because the church needs to be protected from the sin occurring within. They need to deal with the issues that are within. If they're not part of the church, well, there's an answer for that too. Pray for them. Still pray for them. Church doesn't have to be involved at that point, not necessarily. Now, it's not to say you can't take it before the church as a prayer request. Yes, you can. Just be careful about naming people. You know, you might make it like an anonymous thing. But, you know, people need to be prayed for. And here's the thing, though. You know, if you've done all this and that person or people still won't take responsibility, well, then we go on to what Matthew 18, verses 19 through 20 are talking about. Pray for guidance in God's will. Make the decision on what to do and then do it. Don't be hasty. Pray. That's the whole thing, is take a minute, step back, talk to God about it. What's in His will? You might find, hey, you need to change something within yourself even. You never know. But you pray and you make that decision on what to do. And then once that decision is done, you do it. Don't hem and haw. Don't question it. Once the decision's there, just do it and move forward. And whatever that choice was between the few of you, God will honor it because it's being done in accordance with His will. Even if it means treating that person like a pagan or a tax collector, asking them to leave. Yes, asking them to leave is perfectly okay. It happens. Even in the church, it's okay. If push comes to shove and it gets to that point, sometimes that is the way to respond. It's like, hey, we can't have this. Something needs to change. We're going to ask you to leave until it does change. It happens. But beyond it all, be loving and discerning the entire way. Loving and discerning the entire way. I said it again. And continually pray over them and continually pray over this situation for God's guidance, and if need be, His intercession. So be loving, be discerning, and prayerful. Next, it's more important that we need to forgive the offending party in our own hearts. Yeah, we need to forgive the offending party in our own hearts. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. The word says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. It's not a simple matter of saying a couple words. Oh, I forgive you. No, it goes deeper than that. We truly and fully have to let go in order to purge it from our hearts. Sometimes, you know, you get in a fight with your significant other. Separate for a little bit, come back together, you know. Separate for a few minutes, you know, so you don't say things that you don't need to say. Say, you don't say things that you don't want to say. Things that shouldn't be said, you know, because you don't want to be ugly. You don't want to be ugly. Sometimes it's good to just take a moment to go and breathe, come back together. It's like, okay, we can work through this, right? We're going to move forward, right? Yes. Okay, cool. I forgive. Sometimes that's all that needs to be said is, I forgive. I'm sorry. I love you. I forgive you. Moving forward, right? But we truly and fully have to let go in order to purge these things from our hearts. We have to take the hurt that we're feeling to the Lord and tell him what it is and leave it at his feet, knowing, trusting, that's faith, that he will deal with it properly and in his perfect timing. You can't just, you know, or I should say, we can't just go and complain to him and then carry it back out the door with us. You know, he can't do anything about it when we carry it back out with us. We had to surrender it to him. We have to, you know, just completely drop it at his feet, at his throne. You know, some of us, we like to walk out. We had that little, you know, rope tied around it where we're walking out. We just, you know, kind of like that dollar bill trick. You just jerk it and pull it back to yourself. No, let it go. For your own sake, you have to realize that all that pain and all the suffering that comes with it isn't worth the price that it takes on you and those you love. So like the king in Christ's parable, and like Christ himself, because that's who it's talking about, you have to release your offenders of repayment or obligation to correct the transgression and move forward with no expectation of reward or settlement other than the peace that God and God alone gives you. So we begin to work towards a close. I'm going to remind you of Romans 5, verse 8. So Romans chapter 5, verse 8. The word states, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We've all sinned. We've all done things to hurt and offend others. Our forgiveness was bought for the very heavy price of Jesus on the cross. A price paid in full, in blood, that we ourselves can never repay. We can never earn it. It's a forgiveness that we truly never even deserve. Yet it was given anyways. Freely, lovingly, gracefully, mercifully, a forgiveness so full and so loving, it was given to us so that we in turn can not only be reunited with the Father, but share it with others so that they too can come to know Christ and be forgiven as well. So don't be ungrateful. Don't be selfish. God gave us this gift in the expectation that we share it with others and use it to point the way to Christ. We need to be forgiving like Christ, who forgave us, and do our very best to act the way he acted, regardless of our own hurt. To forgive without excuse, because we have no excuse. And in freeing others, we free ourselves. We free the future, because Christ has broken those chains. He's given us the key to finish releasing those bonds that held them to us. So we need to forgive as Jesus forgave. You need to forgive as Jesus forgave you. And as we close, I'd like everyone to bow their head for a moment and close their eyes. Unless you're driving out there, of course, and you're listening online. But I want you to search yourself. Search yourself and ask God to reveal those things that you've been blind to. To take those hurts that are inside and turn them over to Christ today. Leave them with him. And if you're hearing this and you haven't forgiven yourself, you need to do so. If you haven't given yourself to the Lord, you need to do so. And you could do this now because His forgiveness is available to you as well. Pray and ask for the forgiveness that only Jesus can give you, and recognize that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short, and we all need that forgiveness in our lives. Let us pray. Father, we come to you knowing that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the goal. We've all messed up. Those expectations that you've had for us, well, we've missed them too. We've offended. We've hurt. Sometimes we've done it willingly. Sometimes we've done it knowingly. Other times, no idea. None whatsoever. But that's never an excuse. None of that is an excuse. So please forgive us. Forgive us all. And help us to let go of those transgressions and forgive others just as you've forgiven us. Teach us how to let them go fully and completely. Help us to find that closure when we can, to go to those that we're able to and try to have that dialogue. Unless, of course, it's going to make the situation worse, in which case we leave it in your hands. We leave it all to you because we don't want to hurt others more than we already have. And we know sometimes just being there is going to do just that. Help us to fully understand this gift that you've given us. And that forgiveness is all part of loving our neighbors. And you have commanded us in your commandments. Your second commandment is to love others just as we would love ourselves. So we need to take that and recognize that forgiveness in all of its forms is love. And you are love. And it's a gift to be shared. So please help us. Help us, you know, to live that life that you've set for us and that you'd have for us. That live that life that's in your will, where we can become more Christ-like every day and less like the world every day. And when there's a chance in front of us to point the way to you and to be a beacon of hope for others, to be a blessing for others, help us to recognize it, open that door, and walk right through it in your light, in your guidance. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. And remember, as you go forward from here today, you are loved and you are blessed. Now go and be the church.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.